Welcome to this month's chat. This is my office. I'm Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And typically I will do my monthly chat right here at my desk where I am, but I'm usually on computer or during spring training. It's out at Salt River Fields in my office there. So we've got our questions today. We're going to look at some of these from Twitter, Facebook, also through email. So glad you're with us today and thanks for all your questions. We'll jump right in here. And again, thank you for your participation. And it's fun for us to be on the cutting edge of technology, now jumping on with Periscope. We do our chats either through MLB.com. We've tried it before with Twitter. We've done it on Facebook. Now I'm excited for Periscope for the first time. So again, thank you and welcome. We'll get started. First question I have here is an email from Jared. Derek, what are your thoughts about A.J. Pollock and how good he's been swinging the bat lately? You know, A.J.'s been swinging the bat well, I think, really since he's been up here. And last year, in my opinion, A.J. should have been and probably would have been an all-star until he got hurt and, of course, had the hand injury, the broken hand. It was unfortunate because he went down when he was playing very well and, you know, had a little slow spring and came out and picked up right where he left off last year once the season started, and he's been terrific. In fact, it gives us an opportunity to promote those players like A.J., like Goldie, who have been playing so well this year, Ender and Ciarte, and try and get those votes to increase the number of votes for the All-Star game, because I believe that A.J. deserves that All-Star recognition as well. And I know my 35 votes went to every D-back, but I was especially proud to click next to his name, Ender's name, Goldie's name. All of our guys are playing well, but A.J.'s an important player, and I think when you look at him, he's the true definition really of a five-tool player. He can run. He's got a great arm. He plays terrific defense. He can hit. He can hit with power and for average. But watching him out in center field, he makes plays that most can't even get to. And his stolen bases just show you the speed and the fact that he can disrupt a game and get inside the head of a pitcher. It's very important to have players like him. And our outfield now, which has become so athletic when Peralta's out there along with Pollock and along with Enciarte, I'll put it up against really any in baseball. Great question. Thank you. Next up, we have an email from Michelle. She asks, the big trade you made was exciting. Where do you see the new players making their impact on the team and in the future? Go D-backs. Thanks, Michelle. Yeah, it was tough. Mark Trumbo is somebody who we like a lot. You know, and we had acquired him, obviously, for a reason. This is somebody who's got tremendous power. He's a great clubhouse guy. He played anywhere we asked him to play. He had to fill in last year for the majority of the season other than when he was injured at first base after Paul went down. He was playing left field last year, which was a new position to him. This year he was playing right field. But he's someone that you expect when you pencil him in the lineup for a season, he's going to hit 30, 35 home runs and drive in 100 RBIs or drive in 100 runs. And so it's tough to say goodbye to Mark, and he was a great teammate. But on the other hand, our players were playing so well, and we always talk about a good problem to have. And with Tomas being able to take over third base duties while we were waiting for Jake Lamb to recover from injury, and he's very close. In fact, last night at Reno, he went 2-for-4 with a double. We watched him the other day at Salt River Fields, hit a triple. He looked great running because we were worried about that foot. Looks good at third base. But for him to come back, and that's really any day now to play third base, obviously we need to find a place for Yasmani Tomas to play. He's shown now in a couple of months that he can hit at the major league level, batting over .330 consistently. And so with an outfield like the players we already mentioned, with Enciarte, with Pollock, with Peralta, with Trumbo at the time, with Tomas joining that group, we had too many outfielders, and it allowed us to make a trade that also brought in a catcher, which became a need defensively, that is, because we had made the commitment to Tuffy in the offseason and in spring training, because Tuffy is such a defensive-minded catcher, someone who loves catching his pitching staff, doesn't take his at-bats out to with his defense behind the plate. This is somebody who the pitchers love pitching to. And we needed to fill that void, and we believe that Wellington Castillo will help us there. So we acquired Wellington, and I think really three prospects, although one of them in Leon was already at the big league level. But the three players we acquired in addition to Castillo we're very excited about. So it was a good move for us. It probably happened sooner than we thought it would have because Lamb was coming back quicker and because we had the need once Tuffy unfortunately had the tear to his ACL. And I believe he's going to have surgery at the end of this week. So, you know, I look forward to the future, as you mentioned, and where we're heading. We're always going to look to improve this team. I love the youth of this team, and I know we have questions asking about other areas of need that I'll get to in a few minutes. So, thank you, Michelle. Next comes from Peter Hines on Facebook. Peter asks, as a loyal D-backs fan in San Diego, I'm curious if you have ideas for ways to expand the fan base outside of Arizona. That's a great question, Peter. You know, we're always looking to expand our fan base. When you look at each of the individual markets, we're really protected. We have to stay within our markets, each of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball. Some share markets, obviously, in L.A., Chicago, New York. But when you're in a market like Arizona, we have an actual territory that we have to stay within. But there are ways that we can increase our fan base. I think the more that we have players like Pollock, like Goldie, who are performing so well, if we get back to the playoffs, more people are going to see us. They're going to want to follow the D-backs, hopefully become fans of ours. The more that here at Chase Field we host some of those jewel events, like we did the All-Star Game in 2011, the World Baseball Classic twice, people want to come visit this team or the stadium, and soon they become fans of ours. Opening up in Australia was a great way for us to increase our fan base. Playing in Hermosillo, as we try and do every other year in spring training, our fan base has grown very large into Mexico, particularly into Sonora and Hermosillo, which we feel like is our sister city and sister state. And San Diego is a very important market to us, you know, for a number of reasons. When it gets hot here in the summer, a lot of our fans will take off to cool down, either up in the mountains or they'll go to San Diego. And often when we play the Padres over in San Diego, it feels like a home game. We've got so many of our fans that are either living in their second home there or vacationing over there for the summer, and they make plans to come see us during our games. And it's a sea of Sedona Red at Petco. It's always fun to see. In fact, there's a series every year where we take all of our employees. So we take 350 full-time employees over there by bus, and we let them enjoy the games, and they all stay together downtown in the Gas Lamp District. And San Diego is very important to us. But, yes, we're always looking for ways to increase our fan base. We appreciate having so many fans that live out of state, and we hear from them. We have fans that we hear from, by the way, in London, England, who come and make a journey here each year. We have fans now down in Australia as a result of us playing there, in New Zealand, in Japan, in Mexico, the Dominican. And I really appreciate the support that we get from everybody globally. So thank you for being a fan in San Diego, and please come see us when we're there. And you'll have a lot of fans surrounding you that are either from Arizona or they're now living there, relocated, or new fans that live there that have grown accustomed to following the D-backs. So thanks, Peter. Next, we have Aaron on Twitter. He says, years ago, there were rumors of adjusting the field dimensions. Is that something that is still on the table? You know, I think a lot of teams will look at that and see if they need to make adjustments to their field if it plays favorably in one way or another. And this is such an offensive stadium, as you know. There was talk once of moving the fences back. We haven't really looked at that in a while. We haven't focused on that. So I don't see that in the near future. I mean, I think our stadium is great the way it is. It plays very fast. I think you'll hear from players from other teams as they come here. They get excited because they really love the batter's eye. They like how offensive this ballpark plays. Very much like Milwaukee, where we just played. Very similar. Big batter's eye. And we know from talking to our players, they enjoy playing there. And when they were with other teams, they enjoyed coming here for the same reason. But I don't think that we're going to make any changes at this point. So thank you for that question. Next, we have Edward on Twitter, who says, why have your radio broadcast been promoted or been demoted back to AM radio? And he used the hashtag DHall chat. Thank you. Yeah, we have been on ESPN 620. And that's mostly because of us being back east. And typically what they'll do is, without interfering with their programming on Arizona Sports 98.7, they can just move us over, as they've done with some of their other properties, be it the Suns or Coyotes as well, to move them to other properties so they don't interrupt the programming that was scheduled. It looks like we're going to be back on Arizona Sports starting next week. So look for us either on 620 or 98.7. I know our preference would be to be on 1, where you know where to look all the time. But in this case, we had gone over to 620 for a while. We're going back to Arizona Sports 98.7. Thank you. But look for us on both. Hopefully we're on 98.7, where you start, and you continue listening to their programming all day. Great partner of ours over at Arizona Sports. So thanks for that question. Cries on Twitter. Can you comment on the rookie talent of this club? And he actually named a few with hashtags for Ahmed, Lamb, and Tomas. I'm thrilled with the way the rookies have been performing. they've been absolutely terrific. And you name them, you know. And there was a lot of concern early in the year about Nick's offense. He's about as good a defensive shortstop as I've seen, and I've seen some great ones. So we knew if the bat just came around a little bit, he'd be terrific, and it has. To have gone from batting, you know, 150 or 160 to over 220 now, I'm really thrilled with the way he's come around. You mentioned Lamb. Jake Lamb was tearing it up, leading the league in extra base hits and RBI to start the season. Unfortunately got injured. I think he's going to come back here and pick up where he left off. We're certainly hoping. He's a tremendous defensive third baseman. He gives us that left-handed bat in the lineup, which is very important to us. And you mentioned Tomas as well. You know, I look at some of the pitchers too. Tomas has been unbelievable. As we mentioned earlier with him, you know, to be batting over 300 this long in the big leagues, he's shown that he belongs here. And this is someone that did not play a lot last year in Cuba. He's got a lot of pressure, a lot on his mind, yet he doesn't play like that. You know, he's very calm, very relaxed. He's a great teammate. He has a lot of fun with his teammates. They enjoy him a lot. He's a funny young man, and very, very humble, very polite. Somebody you pull for, you root for, you want him to succeed. And for him to have had to switch positions as well, typically an outfielder, to have to go to third base to fill in, he did a terrific job. I know there was a lot of concern about his ability at third. He's done great. He's made some very hard, difficult plays. He's made the routine plays. His arm looks good, and he's never complained. And you can bat him anywhere in the lineup. I've seen him anywhere, obviously, from 2 to 4 to 7. You know, he batted cleanup yesterday, did a great job again. He's looked like a multi-hit machine, but he's going to stumble a little bit too. They're going to make adjustments. He's got to make adjustments. It's all new to him, and, you know, we'll start to see a lot more power too. He was always hitting the ball to the right side. I think what we've seen now is he's starting to pull the ball more, but he's got tremendous power going away, like Goldie does. Very, very happy with all of our young talent, and it's a young team and a great young core that we're trying to build around. And pitchers, a few minutes ago, our rookie pitchers have been good. You know, this is a staff that, you know, in order to win, you have to have pitching and defense. Our defense has been terrific all season long. Our pitching has been hit and miss, and we knew that was going to be the case this year, in that we're developing these pitchers. And you look now at the depth that we've created, because unfortunately we had to move pitchers over the last few years, some very good prospects and deals, and our cupboard was dry. And so for us now to have it restocked with guys like Bradley, Shipley, Blair, Robbie Ray, Webster, who was in the De La Rosa trade, who's pitching really well now as well. Yoan Lopez, who we got from Cuba. Godley, who we got in a trade this offseason as well. We've got so much talent now. Banda, who we got last year in the trade with Milwaukee. It gives me great encouragement and hope that these pitchers are developing. And, you know, we hope that they make it up to the big league level, and they're part of that rotation. That's where it starts. And I know there's a great free agent class of starting pitching here in the offseason that we'll be able to look at to add to the pitchers that will have another year under their belt, be it in the minors or up here like a Ruby De La Rosa. But we also have Patrick Corbin right around the corner coming back. I cannot wait to see Patrick back out on that mound. I'm a huge Corbin fan. That was a big hit to us last year when we lost our ace. That's difficult news for any team. And, you know, of course, it's hard to bounce back from. To be able to get Corbin back, and it's going to take him a little time, obviously, to get his legs under him and get back there. But he's looked good so far in his rehab starts. He had one just the other day. We had him on a pitch count, so he only threw 3 2/3 innings. But he struck out 8 during that time, and they really didn't hit him. He looked really good. And that was that same game that Jake Lamb hit the triple in. So hopefully we get Patrick coming back here soon and becoming an impact in that rotation. You got some?
Well, we're starting to get some questions here from Periscope, so when you finish those, we'll jump into some of the ones they're asking while you're talking.
Okay, we'll finish all these. All right. Raymond on Twitter, when do you think Hernandez, the catcher, will return, and do you see him as a catcher of the future or now? Oscar Hernandez is a tremendous catching talent, which is why we drafted him in the Rule 5 draft during the winter baseball meetings. And it's somebody that we thought we could build into our future plans. And unfortunately, as you know, he had the hand problem and landed on the DL during spring training. But it's nice now that we do have the catching options. Bringing up Jared Saltalamacchia, having Jordan Pacheco here, now adding Wellington Castillo. But Hernandez is somebody that our staff fell in love with, watching him. Our scouts think he's tremendous, got the best hands they've seen of a catcher, from a catcher in a long time. So, you know, he's rehabbing. He's getting close to coming back. He's going to need a rehab stint. We've always said we could see this team carrying three catchers, however it goes, whether it's Salta Lamacchia and Castillo and Pacheco, or if Hernandez figures to get back in there. He's that good. He's going to be a major league catcher. It may be here, and we'll see. But thanks for asking, and he is a terrific kid. Oscar Hernandez is not only talented, he's a wonderful kid, and I'm glad that he's doing much better, and his hand is healing, and he's going to be rehabbing here shortly. Got an email from Steven. I'm a lifelong Angels fan, and my 8-year-old son's favorite player is Mark Trumbo. So he quickly became a D-backs fan. As I just mentioned, I can understand why somebody's a Mark Trumbo fan. He's a terrific guy. With the pending home and away series, I bought great tickets behind the D-backs dugout in both Anaheim and at Chase Field just 2 days ago. Also, bought him a new hat and T-shirt, which will be here before our road trip. I even bought myself a D-backs T-shirt because he was going to make me root for Mark and the D-backs when we were at Chase Field. I know baseball is a business and these things happen. Any way to help this dad save face and help expose him to the D-backs' other great players? I know BP for the home team happens when the gates open, or before the gates open. Although Mark won't be there, I'm excited to take my son to see what it looks like to be at such a beautiful ballpark. Well, Steven, that's a crusher. Breaks my heart a little bit, and I understand that. And, you know, I've got three kids at home, and anytime we traded any player away or released a player, it broke their heart because they are so loyal to this team and to the players, and they make that connection. But absolutely, we will take care of you. We'll get you down there, you and your son, for BP so that he can see some other players, and we'll have some of the players come over and hopefully say hi and sign one of those caps or T-shirts for you. And you're going to have a great time here. Appreciate your support of the D-backs. And, you know, it can be tough when you're following one team, but as a fan, as you know, you learn to love the whole team. And I hope that's the case with your son, and that it's not so much about Mark Trumbo now as it is the D-backs, because we appreciate his support and him being a fan, and we'll take good care of him when he gets here. So I would say just email us again, and we'll make the arrangements with you. In fact, we'll get back to you, Stephen, now that we have your email here, and we'll make arrangements for you to get here. So tell your son we're sorry. With Mark now going to the AL West, he can continue being a Trumbo fan, and maybe Seattle will be his American League team, and the D-backs will remain your National League team. So we look forward to seeing you out here for that series, and thanks again for writing on that. And then lastly, the last one we had received from you guys, and of course Josh just said we have some updated questions and responses to what I've already discussed. Chris on Facebook: Derek, I know that it takes time to build a contender, and I see the progress. For example, I was one of those screaming about Ahmed earlier in the year, and now have to eat crow because he is awesome. If you were to pick one piece that you still feel needs attention, what would it be? Great question. And, you know, I appreciate you saying how much you like Nick Ahmed now. He is, again, it's repeater's disease, but he is so good at shortstop, and the plays that he makes, I mean, he saves runs and hits. He gets to balls that most people don't get to. He makes plays in the hole like I've never seen. He can turn two like no one I've ever watched either. But I think if there's one glaring issue for this team right now still, it would be starting pitching. And I think they would tell you that as well, the starting pitchers. They would like to go deeper into games. They haven't been able to at this point, and it's been very taxing on our bullpen. We want to make sure the bullpen gets used properly and gets rested again. That's going to require us to go longer with our starts and hopefully more effectively too. It was an area that we knew going into the season that we knew was going to be a developmental area. So I think getting Corbin back is certainly going to help, but he's going to be on a pitch count limit. He's not going to be able to go as deep as we'd like our pitchers to go. So there's another reason for us to need more consistency and length out of the other guys. But it will also give us a possibility of moving one of the guys from the rotation into the bullpen to provide more length as well. But I'd say starting pitching. And it's an area that we're certainly going to address in the offseason. I think the fact that we have depth that I mentioned before, we have so many young pitchers knocking on the door that are going to be able to be a part of this rotation at some consistency that we've seen out of some, like Chase Anderson. I know he had a rough start his last time out, but he's been lights out, giving you quality start after quality start. Jeremy Hellickson now being able to last three starts to give you those quality starts. And to be able to then pencil in and fill in with guys like Robbie Ray, like we've already done and like we're going to do, great options to go to. As I mentioned before, I think we're going to take a pretty good look in the off season at that list of free agents to see if we can't bolster that rotation as well. So thank you. So Josh, what do you got?
We lost the connection just in the last 20 seconds, so let's make sure we're back up and hearing.
Okay.
People are still commenting.
Okay, great. All right, so first of all, for some reason, Periscope seems to think that we're in Wichita, Kansas. So can you please confirm?
We are not in Wichita, Kansas. We are in Phoenix, Arizona, on Jefferson at Chase Field in my office.
All right. Let's see.
On a throwback Thursday, and I did not wear purple. Everybody else here in the office did. I've got the shirt at home.
All right, so we've got from Mike Verderame. Says, I always see you sitting in the front row at the games. Is it possible I can get your autograph?
That's really nice. Absolutely, you can get my autograph. I'd be glad to. I enjoy sitting in my seats. I enjoy sitting with the fans, particularly when times are tough, so they can come up and ask questions, and I can answer any question they may have. I'm a fan. My family's a fan, so we like to sit there in the seats amongst the fans. There are times where I'll have to go up to the suite if I'm entertaining someone, if we've got a group that I need to be with. So there's a lot of times where fans will say that they looked and didn't see me. Is everything okay? And I hear from them, and I appreciate that. Are you doing all right? You haven't been there. When I took my kid to Boys State, or when I take them to summer school, and I may miss a day here or there, typically I'm in those seats. And even when I'm hosting someone up in the suite, I'll at least start down in the seats so I can say hi to everybody, get up there, and then head back down. But you bet. Please come on up. See me. I would love to say hi, shake your hand, and sign an autograph or take a picture with you.
So one of the questions we got here was, this is from Jay Killinger. Says, how many churro dogs have you eaten so far this season?
I have not eaten a churro dog. That's a good question. My family has. My kids love them. I would say they've probably had no fewer than 10 churro dogs total. Last year they ate the D-bat as well. I have not had one, and that's just because I don't eat dairy anymore, and there's dairy in the churro dog, but it's been a big hit. We ran out opening day, which we said we wouldn't, and we did, and that's because of the big response and for them. But I love the fact that we can come up with a wow item each and every year, and that's really great credit to Levy Restaurants, our concessions partner, and to Chef Michael Snoke, who is so good and came up with the concept himself. But lines are long, but they move fast, so get your churro dog, please.
All right, we've got one here from at Ego Destruction. Says, thanks for supporting Frontier Little League in Tucson, Arizona. Great uniforms. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, thank you. And I was down in Tucson when we announced it, and there were some Little Leaguers down there with us with the announcement. It's part of our D-backs Give Back Youth Jersey program. When we talk to, because obviously we want to have kids playing baseball as much as we can. We're really proud of what we do in the community. We just surpassed the $41 million mark in community giving. A new program that we started is this D-backs Give Back Youth Jersey program, where when we went to all the Little Leagues, to the directors, and asked them what their biggest concerns were or what they needed, they said their biggest challenge was the cost of uniforms. And in some cases, there were Little Leagues that were going to shut down. And we just can't have that. We need kids playing baseball, playing softball, interested in the game, hopefully becoming fans for life. So we determined at that point that we were going to try and provide as many kids in Arizona with jerseys and caps as we could. We started last year. We had over 20,000 kids that we provided uniforms, jerseys, and caps to. This year, it's nearly 40,000. Very proud of all the leagues that we're helping. Eventually, we would love to have every kid in Arizona wearing D-backs. Not to mention that my kids played Little League and softball as well. Never once were they on the D-backs. Every year they got picked for teams, they were so upset they'd come home. And my wife, Amy, and I would have to go out, even though I work for the D-backs, we'd have to go out and buy Pirates gear or Rockies gear or A's gear to wear to our kids' games. And we always thought, boy, why can't we get the D-backs? Well, now everybody gets the D-backs, and it works. And these are cool uniforms. Some are camouflage, some are Sedona red, some are yellow. It's wonderful what we do. But to be able to save some of these leagues, to be able to allow them, in some cases, $25,000, $30,000, $35,000 that they can now spend elsewhere, either waiving entry fees for kids and families that can't afford it, building new mounds, fixing their fields, building concession stands, stocking their concession stands to make money. We're pleased with that. So thank you. And thank you for participating there in Tucson. We hope to see you up here at Chase Field.
Going a little further away than Tucson, our friend Hugh out in New Zealand
wanted
to say hi, and he says, would you send Goldie back down here, please?
Yeah, Goldie and I both visited, as Josh did too, we both visited New Zealand before our series last year. We went down to promote our series in Australia. We took a flight over to New Zealand. We were in Auckland. They rolled out the red carpet. Great, very hospitable. What a beautiful country New Zealand is. And anybody that gets a chance to fly down to Australia, and in particular New Zealand, please, please do take advantage of that. But baseball is becoming so popular in New Zealand. We enjoyed being over there and having a presence. You could tell that more players are playing baseball now in New Zealand, and it was typically, as you know, just a rugby, cricket, but you know, these very athletic, passionate fans and players over there that are also realizing that if they play some of the more traditional American sports, they can then come here, hopefully through scholarship, and play for some of our universities and get educated here as well. And so options are open, obviously, if they're playing some of our sports, and in particular baseball. We've seen the rise in participation there. So keep playing baseball, keep promoting the D-backs, and hopefully we get down there to play another game, not exhibition, but again, another regular season game, be it in Australia or New Zealand, but we'll come see you for sure.
All right, we've got at Billy Mautino says, any thoughts on reducing capacity at Chase Field?
Question on reducing capacity is one that often comes up, and you know that's because we're close to 50,000 fans here, seats, and that's a big, big stadium. And in our market, it can be a challenge because we want it to feel more intimate. I can tell you on opening day for the playoffs, we certainly love having that many because we have enough seats for just about anybody that wants to be here. But there's other games where you wish that it was more crowded and more intimate for the fans, or for the players, I should say. But you see new ballparks now, even in large cities, that are coming in at, you know, 38 to 40, 42,000 fans, whereas before it used to be 50, 56,000 fans. I think those are too large now. But we've talked about it, haven't really talked about it for a couple of years and haven't looked for solutions at this point. Love this ballpark, love the way it looks, love the way it plays, the way it feels. And again, when we can get 50,000 in here, it's a great thing. You know, like August 8th when we're going to retire Randy Johnson's jersey. It's certainly going to be a good thing to have 50,000 that can pack this place.
And last two questions. Somebody here asked about the potential of eventually signing Goldie to an extension, if we would think about doing that at some point.
Well, we're going to want Goldie to play here his entire career, obviously, and he's currently under a multi-year contract. But we talk about Goldie all the time. You know, we think the way he takes care of himself, the way he prepares, he's going to be playing a long time. And as I mentioned, we're always going to want him to be in uniform. So it's something that our staff talks about and creatively how to extend him even longer. It's certainly something that we would look into for obvious reasons and good reasons. He's been our franchise player here the last couple of years, and he is a perfect citizen. I mean, he's someone that everybody's kids should look up to. He's a role model. He's a wonderful kid. He and his wife, Amy, are tremendous people, and just thrilled to have number 44 on our team.
All right, and the last one, I didn't catch the name, but somebody here asked about how your health was doing, and just want to check in.
That's nice. Thank you very much. Doing well. No, knock on wood. I was having to be tested every 3 months because my levels, my numbers were going up and down. They shouldn't be up at all for the prostate, the PSA level. And it was fun last time to have had the opportunity to wait 6 months before I needed to be tested again, and everything was clear. It was non-detectable. I get to wait another 6 months, and I look forward to the day where I can go in once a year. But it's something we're always going to have to monitor, and it's something that everybody should look for because the key to treatment is early detection, and that's for everybody. What scares me most about the cancer form that I had, prostate cancer, is that it's really become our breast cancer. And while we're trying to conquer breast cancer, we need to do the same for prostate as well. 1 in 6 men will have prostate cancer. 250,000 are diagnosed each year, and 30,000 men succumb to the disease each year. So thank you for the question. I'm doing great. Our foundation that we started, the Derek Hall Pro State of Mind foundation, has been good. You know, it's in our infancy still, and you could go to pro-state.org to see what it's about. But it's really about informing men, educating men and women that have questions, concerns, perhaps their patients. But when you hear that you have cancer, doctors will tell you that cancer patient or victim doesn't hear another word. So that's why now we're trying to use this platform to be able to educate and drive awareness and answer any question that we possibly can and let them know they're not alone. But thank you for that. And again, to everybody, and Josh, Kyle, thanks. But thank you all for being a part of this chat today. This is fun. I've enjoyed doing it live and not typing, and enjoyed being on Periscope. This is something new. And again, can't thank you enough. So Here we go. We've got the Mets in town for four. All I can say now is go D-backs. Appreciate your support. Thank you.